Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm Megan,
co-founders of the Restful Project. The Restful Project helps each woman identify how to love God and her people with all her heart. We equip her with the ability to remove distractions so she can focus and live fully in the here and now.
The Restful Project is based upon the biblical concepts of practicing Sabbath rest so we can experience the fullness of shalom, peace, wholeness, blessing, and connection to Christ and Christ followers.
Hey friends, I want to quickly share with you a new podcast series that we are going to have here at the Restful Project this spring, and it's a series about Lent. Megan and I can't wait to explore this liturgical season with you guys. We'll be following along with our devotional empty, and so we invite you to join us however it fits well with your schedule by listening to the podcast, purchasing a physical guide, or joining us in our online group, or doing it with a group yourself. We've got lots of options, and every week what we're going to do is release a podcast episode that correlates with our study. So we hope that you enjoy learning more about Lent and just emptying yourself as you get ready for the coming and of the resurrection of Christ with Easter. So join us every week on the podcast as we explore this new series. See you soon. Bye. Hey friends, today I have an interview with Baylor Knott. Baylor is a Bible study teacher, and she's also the mom of three beautiful children, two of which are adopted. Baylor is the founder of Everything Beautiful Ministries, where she strives to provide encouragement, community, and biblical truth to women everywhere through blog posts, videos, and a weekly devotional delivered right to your inbox. We're thrilled to have Baylor as our Bible teacher for Lent, and so I hope you enjoy this introduction to Baylor and learning more about our new Lent series. So let's get started.
There we go.
Here we go. Okay. Hey, Baylor. How's it going?
Hello. Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad that we get to do this, and we are both showered and looking good with our hair.
No mom bun.
Being a mom, it's like you want that shower, and it's really nice to get it without a million people popping in and being like, hey, I need you.
Yes. I'm like, guys, if it's not an emergency, please don't come in here. I know you want me in there with you when it's you showering. Grown-ups don't like that.
Yeah.
Please go away.
Please go away. I know. I love it. I feel like we connected originally because of our kind of kids, and we had a mutual friend, our friend Ashley, who was so sweet when we started to adopt our youngest, Raleigh James. She was like, you've got to meet my friend Baylor. She lives in Birmingham. And so I started following you on Instagram, and I think we connected briefly back then. But tell me a little bit about your family, because I know you have adopted, and tell me about your family story, what got you into ministry. Let me know a little bit about yourself, because I fell in love when I saw all your stuff.
So my husband and I have been married almost 16 years. Our marriage gets its driver's license this year, so we're very excited about that. And we have three kids, who are currently 8, 6, and 6, and we don't have twins. I get a lot when I share their ages. We adopted our son from Ethiopia in 2015, and that was a very long and difficult process. One that we were not expecting to be long and difficult. We thought it would actually take about a year. It ended up taking almost 4 years for us to adopt him. And then in the midst of all of that, we found out that we were also struggling with infertility. We were maybe a few months into the adoption process when I was like, hey, maybe it's a good idea if we just like make sure that we're both healthy and everything is okay. And so we went and did all, you know, all the testing and came back and found out, or our doctor told us that we would not be able to have biological kids. And so that was kind of its own separate hardship and difficulty. And just, I mean, that doesn't even, that word hardship doesn't really cover how awful it was. It was devastating. For us. And then with our son's adoption taking so long, I felt myself being like, God, where did you go? Like, where, you know, I've always been able to see evidence of your faithfulness. And right here, I just don't. I feel very left behind and overlooked and forgotten. And the years wore on. And of course, we eventually were matched with our son. And that was in the fall of 2014. We were able to bring him home in July of 2015. Mm-hmm. And 10 days after we walked off the airplane with our son, we found out that I was pregnant with our daughter, our number two. So yes, so 8 months to the day after we brought our son home, our daughter was born. And I was like, oh, there's a reason that people can't have two babies in 8 months. Yeah. This is a lot. And so it was tough for a little while, just logistically and attachment and all those kinds of things that are inherent in the world of adoption. And then when our daughter was about one, we decided, we knew that the Lord was calling us to adopt again. And I was like, okay, I came to my husband, and I feel like sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell me something, and then I have the pleasure of being like, hey, babe, guess what?
And, the Holy Spirit told me.
Yes, yes. And so I came to Adam in January of 2017, so a little bit before our daughter turned one. And I was like, I really feel like we should start the adoption process again. And he was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. And he was like, well, he's like, we're so busy. Our hands are so full. And I said, I know. I said, but remember with Bradley's adoption, it took years. Like, it's not like we fill out the form and then the next day, poof, you know? And so we did all the paperwork and all that stuff. And that took us almost the whole year of 2017. And we were told like, oh, it's going to be probably at least 3 years waiting. And we were like, that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect for us.
International again, right?
Yes. Yes. Our youngest daughter is from China. So we were like, oh, we've got years. Mm-hmm. We're totally good. And 3 months later, we got a phone call that we had the opportunity to become the parents of a precious little girl. And we said yes. And so then that summer, we went to China and met her and adopted her, became her family. And then we brought her home in July of 2018. And so, yes, all my kids are basically the same size. Like when you see us walking around, I'm like, yeah, no, they're all basically the same age. but it is a lot of fun. And it was after that, really, in 2019, when I finally felt like, okay, I've maybe got my footing.
Yeah, like, breathing.
A mom of three, like, yeah. I'm not going to die.
You know, I'm going to survive.
that I really kind of felt God calling me toward ministry. Mm-hmm. And I had been an English teacher, a junior high school English teacher, before we had our kids for almost 10 years, and loved it. I love to teach. Mm-hmm. I love to read. And I was at a conference in the fall of that year, fall of 2019, for Christian women in business. Mm-hmm. And I went with my mom because she is a businesswoman. And I was just kind of tagging along just for fun. Mm-hmm. And I found myself in this session about email subscriptions. And I was like, well, this isn't really interesting to me at all, but I'll sit here and listen to it. And as I was listening to the speaker, I felt God kind of open my eyes to this potential ministry opportunity where I could write these devotions each week and then follow them up with a teaching. And that's what I did. And in January of 2020, Everything Beautiful Ministries was born. And since then, every Monday without fail, I will send out my 160th devotion next week, which is crazy. And yeah. And then my 160th little like sermonette, I call them, just like short little like 20 minute teaching messages. And I have loved it. I have loved being able to serve women. And the name of the ministry, Everything Beautiful Ministries, comes, of course, from Ecclesiastes 3:11, that the Lord has made everything beautiful in its time. Because when I was going through all of that journey to becoming a mom, I was just like, God, I don't see a lot of beautiful in my life right now. Everything looks really messy, really ugly. really not the way that I thought it would. And I wrestled with that as someone who has known Jesus for as long as I can remember. It was really hard to look around and be like, I don't see you anywhere. I don't see how any good will ever come of this. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the heartbeat behind Everything Beautiful Ministries, is really reminding women of the truth that God is always at work writing a beautiful story in your life, because he only writes beautiful stories.
That's right.
And so even like when we're in the midst of the mess and the yuck and the thing that we don't want to be in, God mm-hmm. is still at work. He's just not finished yet. And so that's
so key.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I mean, and we are, I think especially now, maybe more than at any other point in history, we want it now. Like, oh, I know the solution I want, and I would like to have it immediately. Mm-hmm. And that's just not how God operates. And, you know, as hard as those years were for me, when I just wanted so badly to be a mom and all my friends, you know, were having kids mm-hmm. and I wasn't. And I was just like, it was awful. But I was talking to my mom the other day about that season. And I said, you know, if given the option to go back and undo that, I wouldn't. Mm-mm. But it was through that difficulty that God really showed me who he is and who he desires to be in our lives.
Absolutely.
And I saw all the other things that I kind of put on God's throne instead mm-hmm. of him. Mm-hmm. And like one by one, he just all those things yes. off until he was really the only thing left.
That's
and
right.
then it was like, you know, like, Baylor, now do I have your attention? Like yeah. now. Gonna listen.
Yeah.
So that is really what I love to do, is to remind women that God can take anything, any mess, any tragedy, anything awful, and he can use it to make something beautiful.
Absolutely. I feel like your story, like there's so many like just themes in the Bible that I'm like, oh gosh, this is like Job, or this is like Esther, yeah. or, you know, Paul, mm-hmm. like there's so many like examples in scripture that I feel like your story, even though it's its own beautiful story about the adoption and infertility, but it can relate so much to the overall theme of scripture, mm-hmm. how God's not finished yet, you know,
yeah.
And that's what I think us holding on to his promises is all mm-hmm. about, because it's like, even in the midst of whatever storm we're going through, God tells us to cling to his word, and his promises mm-hmm. are true. And so that's like that fuel to get you through those
yeah.
hard times. When you don't see him, you still have to rely on that promise that he is there. Mm-hmm. He is faithful. He is at work.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll do a beautiful thing in your life with time, you know?
Yeah.
But that's so difficult. So I'm so glad that are pouring into ladies and sharing that truth, because we all need to hear it, you know, because we're all going through something. If we're not going through it currently, we have a friend that is, or we're going to go through, like,
we are going to go through
hard times, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I was reading this morning in Genesis, reading the story of Joseph, and I was like, oh, this is so perfect for what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
That, like, yes, Joseph's life was ultimately fantastic, but there were years in there where he was a slave, he was a prisoner, he was separated from his family, you know, all of that. But if like in scripture, but God's favor was on Joseph, but God, the Lord was with Joseph, like even in those really dark and difficult times, like God was still there. And then look at what he did, you know, look at what he used all of that hardship to achieve.
Absolutely. So I know, and I've just loved how you have shared. Your Instagram is awesome.
Thank you. I have such a love-hate relationship with Instagram.
Don't we all?
Yeah, like I love you, I hate your guts.
But I love how you share your reels, and just as another like content creator, I really admire that, because I know how much time that really does take.
God.
But just how much you are pouring into your ministry, but you also find rest. I know you love to run, and you travel with your family. So it's just really fun to see all of that. So thank you for sharing it. It definitely encourages me. So, and you're Baylor Knott, right? Is that?
Yeah. Just Baylor Knott, no spaces, no characters.
And Knott is Knott.
That's right.
That's right.
So my kids, when they were learning how to spell it, were thrilled because they got to say TT and not get in trouble.
I can see them loving that.
Yeah. they're like, oh no, we're practicing. We're like practicing. You're not fooling anyone, kids.
Sure. Sure. I love it. I love it. Well, that English teacher and you too, I'm sure loved that.
Yes. Y'all write it down. Stop saying it out loud.
I love it. I love it. Well, one thing that I wanted to share, or have you share with our audience, is, you know, we're partnering together to do a Lent study course, which I'm so excited about. And I'm just thrilled because we're going to combine your teaching with our Lent guided devotional called Empty. And then along with that, Megan and I will have podcast episodes and we'll have just a lot so people can kind of do it at their own pace or they can do it with a group and watch the teaching videos. There's lots of options. But kind of share like your teaching, like what do you love about teaching and what are you hoping to share more of with this Lent study? Give everyone kind of a peek into that.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, like I told you before, I was a middle school teacher for a long, long time. So I love to really learn something and then share it with other people. Mm-hmm. I love the learning process. And that's one thing, you know, over these last few years with Everything Beautiful Ministries, I feel like I have learned so much just in preparing the devotions and in preparing the teaching messages.
Absolutely.
But yeah, just like really kind of being able to dig in and, you know, because I was an English teacher, I'm a big word nerd. And so I love like, what's the origin of this? Like, you know, like a total goofball. Yes, I know. It makes me very excited to find out like the original meaning of a word. I'm super, I know. but yeah, that's what I love is to learn something and then to teach it. Cause I know like we're all busy. Right? Like we're all super duper busy and maybe we don't all have time to sit down and do like an in-depth study of like a 3-verse passage, you know, but that's what my ministry does. And so I love that. I love being able to really learn more about God's word. I feel like I've learned so much about his character and just his provision all throughout scripture. And so I'm really, really excited about kind of not stepping away from Everything Beautiful Ministries, but also like adding in this Lent
study
and looking at like how we prepare our hearts for Easter Sunday, right? Because that's what, I think that's where all the focus goes Easter Sunday. Right? Like we like to jump ahead and miss all the other, not intentionally, I don't think. I just think Easter, it's like the big ta-da at the end, right? Like it's the big moment and it should be celebrated. Like we should give our attention to that. But I think it makes me think of like how I come into church if we've had a bad morning, if we've had a bad Sunday morning and we've slept through our alarms and breakfast was burned and we couldn't find everybody's shoes.
That never happens.
Girls' hair is a mess and we're running late. And like, I walk into church and I haven't even thought about God yet today because I've just been like getting everybody ready, you know? And so I think I miss out on experiencing God and on spending time with God at church if I don't do a good job of preparing my heart to be there before I arrive. And so as I've thought about this Lent study, I've kind of thought of like Easter as the church service, right? And everything else is the Sunday morning getting ready to get there. And so it's going to be these 7 weeks that end in Easter, but where each week we kind of give our focus to a different thing that all ultimately points us toward Easter Sunday. And so I'm really, really excited about that. In the guided devotion, each week, you know, has the focus verse. And so that focus verse is the kind of the root text or the primary passage for that week's teaching message. And so I can tell you what each week's theme is going to be. I haven't written down because there are 7 and I cannot memorize a list of 7 things. Another book has destroyed my ability to remember things.
Mine too.
Yes. So we're going to start week 1 with preparedness. And then week 2 is prayer. Week 3, peace. Week 4, path. Week 5, pause. Week 6 is planting. And then week 7 is party because we're going to celebrate Easter Sunday.
That's right. That's right.
We are going to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. And so each week we're going to take that key text, that root text, and kind of extrapolate it out. And what is God's word Lord really saying to us here? And then what do we do with that? Mm-hmm. So starting with the first week, with preparedness, the key text comes from 1 Peter, mm-hmm. and talking about how we really prepare our hearts. Like, how do we stay alert and sober-minded? How are we really giving our focus to God? And why does that matter? Mm-hmm. As we head into this Lent season. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited. I think that God is going to have some really good stuff for us over these 7 weeks. And I hope so much that everybody who participates really experiences God speaking to them through these texts and then through these teaching messages.
Yes. I'm so thrilled. And I love how they're all the P's.
I got to the end and I had 5 P's and 2 not P's. And I was like, well, that's dumb. I need to find 2 P words. So it took me a minute, but I figured it out.
You did it. Well, I love it. And it's just, you know, I walked through this, obviously, and you can probably relate to this when you're preparing your devotions. It's like you go through it at first from your own mindset of like, I'm learning so then I can pour out. Mm-hmm. But then last year when I actually walked through this study with a group, it was like, okay, now God's teaching me this with mm-hmm. a fresh insight because I'm hearing yeah. from other people. Mm-hmm. And so I'm super pumped to walk through this same study again this year because I feel like my circumstances now are totally different than they were a year ago. And then to have your teaching, it's just going to bring like a more comprehensive message, I think, mm-hmm. to those key verses for the week. And I think it's fun. I want us to like kind of touch on like what Lent is for a second, because, you know, for me, like you said, it's all that preparation to get to that party on Easter. And mm-hmm. I think that's an awesome way to describe it, because not everyone has grown up like practicing Lent. And mm-hmm. certain denominations might even be like, well, I don't really understand what that is, you know, and in our church today, we have, you know, all the liturgical things are kind of brought in a different light. It's not as traditional as it used to be.
Sure.
But I think there's so many valuable benefits to preparing your heart for Easter. And so whether mm-hmm. your church calls it Lent or not, but for you to take that mental perspective of, this spring, mm-hmm. as I lead up, you know, and what I love, this is my nerd. So I love seasons. And I love how Lent is that transition from winter into spring. Mm-hmm. Because I heard this quote once about like, one of the best things about winter is the hope that spring is to come. And so you're mm-hmm. not always going to stay in your winter. So like with your Everything Beautiful Ministries, you're not always going to stay in yeah. that hardship, right? And so it's like, you're going to experience a winter season, this mm-hmm. isolation, maybe even this loneliness, this questioning, God, where are you? But yeah. then spring will always come. And there's that hope. And it's like, as you see, like the nature around you just change, you know, and mm-hmm. the weather sometimes gets warmer, sometimes it doesn't. But you see it, you know, you're experiencing it anyways in your daily life, but then you can experience it in your inner heart too and see God kind of pruning you like, okay, well, what was kind of an idol? What do I need to let go of? What do I need to pray about? And we have the 3 pillars of Lent, which are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And I think mm-hmm. most people are aware of what prayer and fasting is, but almsgiving is like giving, or it's volunteering or tithing, or it's cleaning out, it's letting go of the clutter in your life. And one of the things that we always encourage people is to kind of do like a combination of these things. Mm-hmm. And like fasting doesn't just have to be food. You know, you always hear like, oh, I'm giving up chocolate, or I'm giving up wine, or, you know, whatever. But we can fast social media. We can fast habits. Like I think people can set their intent and prepare their heart for whatever circumstance they currently got. And this is just yeah. going to help lead them to that Easter Sunday. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I think to really look at, because, you know, I feel like Lent kind of gets a bad rap because like, oh, I'm giving this up for Lent, you know, yeah. and it comes about the thing, right? Like I'm giving up chocolate, right? Oh, and like, it's all I think about is the fact that I'm not having chocolate. That's not the point. Like God doesn't really care what chocolate, that does not, you know, I don't think that matters to him, but it's the heart of it. Like, what is my intention behind this? And what am I doing? Like the time when I would have been eating chocolate, how am I using that time differently?
Yeah.
You know, that I think the heart behind it, I think that's what God's after, right? That's mm-hmm. what he's always after, is the condition of our heart and the posture of our heart. And so, you know, whether you give something up or you add something in, a new habit, a new, you know, pattern, mm-hmm. something you're trying to weave in, I think, like, as someone who tends toward legalism mm-hmm. naturally, mm-hmm. I love a good rule. I love to follow a good rule. Yeah. I think that focusing on, like, where is my heart in this? Like, am I just giving up chocolate because I feel like I'm supposed to do that for Lent? Mm-hmm. Or am I trying to use that to honor God mm-hmm. in some way?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when I've done fasting, you know, and we've got different options, and that's what I love about the guide, is it can supplement, like, whatever you want to choose. It kind of gives yeah. you some direction and some mm-hmm. guidance. And that's what we'll be doing along the way. So whether you do choose to fast a physical food or a habit, mm-hmm. you know, we'll kind of help them through that. But it's all about that intent of the heart. And I've come to learn, like, when you combine fasting with prayer, you know, and then that giving, that's like kind of taking your mind off of it. Mm-hmm. It's like, you no longer desire that. And like, that's how God, like Holy Spirit works inside of you to like be drawn to him and not so much that physical thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those supernatural things that like, yeah. it, once yeah. you experience it, you're like, okay, this is real. And this is such a wonderful like pruning of my soul, you know?
Yeah. So. And that's, thing is like that's the goal. The goal is not to just not do a certain thing
right
for 7 weeks. Like that's not the point. You know, mm-hmm. the point, the heart change. And so I love that you brought that out, because that is absolutely true. And I think that's maybe the part we miss sometimes in Lent.
I agree.
It becomes more about the thing I'm not doing than yeah. am I doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's something for everyone. And so mm-hmm. we'll provide some information for people to pop in, and there's options. They can just join us online. They can have a physical guide. But I'll share all of that with the show notes. But as we close today, I wanted to ask, what is one thing, and it can be anything random, so be honest. Okay. Get ready. <I feel nervous. laughs> What is one thing that makes you feel rested or full? Like, what is kind of your go-to thing?
You said it at the beginning. I love to run.
Yeah.
I love to run. I have kind of, you know, I hated it when I was in middle school because I had a PE teacher who, in her mind, physical fitness for a female was defined by being able to run 3 miles in under 30 minutes. And I could not do it. Yeah. I just could not get there as a 13-year-old. And so I kind of just like decided that I hated running. Uh-huh. But I got into it when we were actually in the process of adopting our son, because mm-hmm. I was so stressed out yeah, and overwhelmed, and I couldn't control anything else in my life. And I was like, you know what I can do? I can run. Mm-hmm. I can run. And I did yeah. a lot. And it became, and I've actually only within the last couple of months started running while listening to anything in my ears. I used to just mm-hmm. run me only. And I would pray. Or it would just be a time to like empty my mind of everything that is always just vying for my attention and pulling me in 100 different directions. And I would feel better after mm-hmm. like a weight had been almost lifted. And so that for me is my go-to yeah. would be, that's like I said, I was running this morning when I got your text about our Zoom call.
I love it. Yeah, I definitely can relate to that. Running's a way for me to relieve my stress too. And I just feel so good afterwards too. It just makes me feel like, okay, if I can do this, I can conquer anything else. Yeah.
yeah.
So, well, thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. And like we said, we can find you on Instagram at @BaylorKnott. Is there any other places that you want to connect people to?
Yeah, I've got a website, everythingbeautifulministries.com. You can sign up for my Wednesday email. It's free. It's a free resource. Always will be. It goes out every Wednesday morning. And it's just a quick little scripture and a word of encouragement. And then if you're interested in the weekly devotions that come with video teachings as well, that is called the Made Beautiful devotion, because we are all being made beautiful by our Heavenly Father. And that's on there too, under the Join Our Community.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much, Baylor.
Yeah,
and I look forward to starting our lit study together. It's gonna be
awesome. Soon.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for popping on here today.
Yeah, of course. I'll see you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Restful Projects podcast.
When you join our seasonal learning community, you will receive weekly encouragement and seasonal wellness tips that will help you fight fatigue and live life fully.
Plus, you'll receive fun perks and discounted event pricing, so you're not going to want to miss out. Trust me. You can learn more about The Restful Project at our website, therestfulproject.com, or you can join our private Facebook group, which is The Restful Project Seasonal Learning Community. You can also keep up with us on Facebook and Instagram at The Restful Project. Thanks again. Have a great day. Bye.